from snowy but still pretty sunny Minnesota, it's the Ride Ready Podcast brought to you by the Polaris Help Center. I'm Joe Ziemer, and I am not an expert. Now, I have spent my entire life in the Midwest, which puts me in the realm of being an expert on winter and surviving the winter. But I am not an expert on plowing snow. But today, I'm going to talk to three people who are experts on that subject. First, we have a conversation with Kyle Liesenfeld from the Polaris Help Center and Mitch Craven, a Polaris off-road vehicles product specialist. They'll tell us about the what, how, and why of plowing. Then we're going to chat with software QA manager Joe Botensick. Joe's going to fill us in on plow mode, a useful new feature on some Polaris Ranger models. So let's get to it, and let's talk plowing. All right, as promised, we are joined by a couple of experts here. We have Kyle and Mitch with us. Let's start with having each of you guys introduce yourself, tell everyone how long you've been with Polaris, what your role is, and kind of what your responsibilities are.
Sure, so I'll start. I'm Kyle Liesenfeld. I've been with Polaris for about 7 years, doing some different jobs. Currently, I'm the self-help program lead for Polaris Service. So what I do is write content for customers to learn more about the product, kind of like what we're doing here, and help to make some of the DIY and maintenance videos that you might see online.
Yeah, and my name is Mitch Craven. So I've been with Polaris for 4.5 years now. I'm currently a product specialist for Ranger and General Accessories. So basically, I work with our engineering team on working through the development of those accessories for that product line.
Another thing we should mention, Kyle, what did you spend last weekend doing? A lot of in your yard.
Plowing snow.
There we go.
For this.
All right, good testing.
So we're going to basically go through all the basics here of snow plowing, what you need, how you should do it, how you can adjust it. Let's start with the equipment itself. This is kind of your wheelhouse, Mitch. Let's start right here. Let's say I just brought home my first Sportsman, my first Ranger, and now I'm thinking about getting a plow system. What do I need on my vehicle to plow my yard, my plow my driveway, plow whatever?
So generally speaking, and this kind of goes for aftermarket and also Polaris plows, you're pretty much always going to need a winch or a plow mount, a plow frame, and then a plow. So that's kind of your general standard of what you would need to create a plow. As the industry is evolving here, Ranger now for us, the mount is actually integrated into the frame and the front bumper. So at that point, you don't need the actual plow mount. You just need the frame and the plow. So just be aware of that. Always check with your dealer kind of on what unit you have. But generally speaking, usually it's going to be a plow mount, plow frame, and a plow.
So, and then, you know, I would add, besides that, too, there's a lot of things that you might want that can help make plowing a little bit more fun, less work, and a little easier for you. So that's just going to be some of the plow accessories, like snow deflectors, and some things to make you more comfortable. If it's a side-by-side, maybe you want a full cab and a heater, or at least a windshield or a roof to keep you out of the wind a little bit. If it's on an ATV, hand warmers, thumb warmers, handlebar gauntlets, maybe a windshield there too, and those types of winter weather accessories.
A big one just to add to Kyle's list there is lights too. I know
sure.
In past, using from personal experience, a lot of times the headlights will get blocked when you put a plow on there and you're lifting up and down. So it is nice to have at least something, at least on the upper bumper or on the roof, some sort of lighting that you can shine down.
Yeah, and if you've got a big snow, you're probably going to be out there pretty early trying to get yourself out to work, so that can be a factor too.
Let's quick delve back to some of those key components and look at some of the options real quick so people have an idea if they're thinking about going to their dealer to look for these things. Two product lines you'll see on our websites, Glacier Pro HD, Glacier HD. Mitch, can you quick give us the difference between those two?
Yeah, so as we look through the different product lines, so you're going to have ATV is going to have the Glacier Pro HD, Racer's going to have a Glacier Pro HD, and then once you get to General and Ranger, you do have the two different options there that you talked through. Your Glacier HD is going to be basically our value option plow setup, and then the Glacier Pro is going to be kind of our premium setup. The main difference between those, your Glacier Pro HD is going to have basically a lot more easeability to take it on and off quickly. It's not going to take much manual force to put it on and off. It's got a kickstand basically that holds it up so you can easily drive up to the plow, latch it nice and easy. Your Glacier HD still is a good plow. I would say if you're using your plow once a month, Glacier HD will do the job and you're not plowing anything more than, I guess, a foot to 2 feet. So kind of lighter jobs is where I'd recommend the Glacier HD.
There are different blade options too. Two that you'll primarily see are steel and poly. What is the difference and what maybe functionality for the two of those?
Yeah, so the functionality between poly and steel, your poly is going to be a little bit lighter. It's actually not a ton lighter, but it is a little bit, so you can maneuver it a little bit easier. It should wear a little bit better than your steel. It's not going to have dents in it or anything. It also is made so that the snow doesn't stick to it. Sometimes snow will stick to the metal, depending on how wet it is. It's kind of the main advantages versus poly versus steel.
Yeah, and the weight can be really, that can be really helpful. When it's really cold or if the snow is really wet, having that sticking to the front, it just changes how the snow sort of piles up off the blade and how clean of a yard you can have.
For some vehicles, you might have an option between blade sizes. How do I know which one's right for my vehicle?
So you really want something that's wider than the vehicle, and you have to think, too, that width is from left to right of the blade. That's as wide as it is. So when you're plowing at an angle, that width is going to be less. It's less of a swath of snow that you're taking. So you just want to make sure it's bigger than the width of the vehicle. Maybe you have different tires or something like that that might factor into the width of the vehicle. You just don't want to be plowing snow right into your tires, because obviously that's going to kind of leave a mess and not give you the clean line that you're attempting to plow.
Let's touch on winches, too. One thing you'll read online is that a winch with a rope is preferred for plowing. Why is that?
Yeah, so one of the main reasons why the rope is going to be beneficial over the steel is because of basically the angle at which the winch is pulling up the plow over and over and over again. It is a sharp angle where your cable is not going to bend as much as a rope will, or as easy as a rope will. So sooner or later, the cable will wear a lot quicker than a rope. So sometimes you'll get some fray on the cable. Sometimes you can even cut your hand on it. It works. It is going to wear a lot quicker than if you have a synthetic rope on it.
Let's back all the way up. Let's say I don't have my vehicle yet. I'm thinking about getting a vehicle because I'm finally sick of the snowfall. What do you guys prefer, and what are the advantages going ATV versus a side-by-side when it comes to plowing?
So I've had both. I think it's a personal preference. Obviously, with a side-by-side, you can have some advantages there. If you have a full cab and heat, you can be, you know, you're inside, you're out of the elements, you can even listen to music, you've got plow mode, those sorts of things that can help make the experience of going out and doing it a little bit better. That's a good situation where you might look into hydraulic angle, because if you have a full plow on or a full cab on, you're unbuckling your seatbelt, you're opening the door, you're getting out to change angle. So if you change angle a lot with your yard or your driveway, that would be helpful too. With an ATV, a little bit different. You are up higher and you have better visibility, I think. There are things that you can help with visibility on side-by-sides too, like plow markers, but you can see the whole width of the blade when you're on an ATV. And if you have smaller areas or are trying to go around obstacles, a ATV can be a little bit more nimble and you can finesse it into some smaller places than you might with a side-by-side.
Okay, so that's what you need to plow. Let's talk about how to plow. Kyle, I think this is going to be really kind of in your wheelhouse now since you just spent last weekend doing this. Best practices, so we're going to talk about. We do have a companion piece on the Help Center itself. We're going to link to that article in the description of this episode, so make sure you read that in conjunction with listening to this podcast. Let's start with just how you should be driving. We recommend you use low gear and all-wheel drive. Why should we be doing that?
Yeah, low gear and all-wheel drive are good. You're going to have the RPMs higher at lower speed, and speed is definitely a factor when you're plowing. You want to be going slow so that if you do encounter an obstacle, you're not damaging the blade, damaging the plow frame. That's the number one factor in plow damage, vehicle damage, or surface damage to whatever you're contacting, whether that's your landscaping or some paver bricks or, you know, scraping up gravel and those types of things, or hitting a little hole in your driveway or a pothole or those types of things. Speed is going to make that worse. All-wheel drive is just about traction. So snow is slippery, ice is slippery. If you're spinning the tires, it's going to create ice, and that's going to make things worse. So, and when we're talking about best practices too, really the best place to start plowing or the best time to start thinking about plowing is well before the driveway or your yard freezes. So that's going to allow you to go out and place markers. So whether you have culverts, you've got some landscaping, like I mentioned, a septic lid, some of those sorts of things that you can, you need to know where those are because they're going to be covered in snow. So that's something that you want to know beforehand. You get a couple feet of snow and some drifting, you start to misremember where those things are located exactly. And if you run into those, they can have a bad time.
You can do some damage to some sprinkler heads for sure.
Yeah,
I know from experience.
Sprinkler heads is a good point too.
Quick before we leave speed, let's give people an exact amount here. 5 miles an hour or less, is that what we always recommend?
Yeah, 5 miles an hour or less when you're plowing. And if you're going from, you know, section of driveway to another section, or your house to your yard, or your house to, you know, something else, you still want to keep the speed really slow as you can when the blade is up, because that's a lot of weight in the front of the vehicle, and that's going to impact how it sears and how it handles.
What about maybe like a utility model that has a low speed limiter?
Low speed limiter can be really helpful for that. If you are plowing, you know, you're doing a long pass, pushing a small amount of snow, especially with some of our bigger displacement machines, you can kind of lose track of how fast you're going, especially you get to the end and you want to be done. So a low speed limiter can help make sure that you're not creeping up on the speed.
We touched on some of the things to do before you plow. What is the proper way? This is going to sound really basic, but what is the proper way just to contact this pile of snow that I now have in my driveway?
Yeah, so it really depends, and there's a lot of experience that comes with this, but the best places to start are, first of all, you know, start slow, plan this out in advance. So where we're at, or where my property is, most of the wind comes from the west, so you don't want to be pushing snow to the west, or it can drift when the wind picks up again for the next snowfall. And you want to sort of just take stock of what the snow is like. So if it's heavy and wet, that's going to push differently than, you know, a light dusting or some really dry snow. So there's a few different things that you can kind of do there. If you're supposed to get 2 feet of snow, don't wait until the snow falls over. You can go out and do some earlier. That's going to make it easier later. If the snow is really heavy and you're having a hard time pushing it, just run the blade up a couple of inches and make two passes. It's going to look better when it's done. You're going to have a better experience by trying to take chunks off of it. And if the blade is really filling up when it's angled and it's whipping snow into the wrong direction because there's just too much to push, you can also just sort of take, you know, half a blade width and take more passes that way too. And especially when you're doing your first sort of snowfall or your first plowing of the season, there's a couple of things that you want to think about there too. One is, if it's the first snowfall, the ground might still be kind of wet or kind of loose and not all frozen down. So you might want to do some of the adjustments we're going to talk about so that you're not damaging gravel or damaging your tar or concrete or whatever that is. But a big thing too is it's best to plan that it's going to snow a lot. So push your piles farther than you would. Go beyond the borders of your driveway if you can, so that snow is piled up in a place that makes sense. Because if it keeps snowing over and over again, your piles are going to start getting bigger and the walls are going to close in on your yard. And you don't want to, you know, be into February and March and have nowhere to go with the snow. And then think about, too, where is it going to melt? Which way is it going to run? Where are you putting this snow? Is it going to melt all back into my driveway? Is it going to melt up next to my house and run into my basement, septic? Or, you know, am I going to have a wet driveway all spring as this stuff starts slowly melting? So be a little conscious of what's going to happen when it turns back to water.
And we've mentioned this even just on driving in a trailer or anything, but make sure you come to a complete stop before shifting your vehicle, too, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, especially when you're making lots of passes, it's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. A couple of things when you get to the pile of where your snow is going. So you want to make sure you're off the throttle and you're slowing down. Don't just ram it into this pile. That's another great way to cause damage to the vehicle or damage to the plow. So slow down a little bit as you get up to it. Don't ram into it. And then as you've pushed it up to the pile and you're about to back up, you're going to want to come to a full stop, put it in reverse, back up a little bit before you start raising the plow up, because that is going to take a lot of stress off of the blade and off of the frame so that it's going to raise up easier.
My house, what I'll do too is when I create that big pile and I basically come to a point where I can't keep continuing it to bring the pile forward, I'll basically come at it And as I hit the pile, you start to lift, and you can actually continue to bring the pile higher and higher. I know that's a decent tactic, too.
Yep.
Let's talk safety. This is very important. Make sure you're safe when you're out there in the winter. What are some safety tips that people should keep in mind, be it what they should be wearing or just operational safety tips?
There's a lot of safety involved in this. Yes, you are traveling at high or at low speeds. You're traveling at low speeds, but it's cold out. It's probably windy out. It's not great. There's ice everywhere. So apparel choices, I think the obvious one is just something that's going to stay warm, keep you warm, keep the wind out, but boots with traction so that you're not slipping around when you're off of the vehicle. Eye protection, you know, generally you're going to be wearing a helmet. You should always wear a helmet, but there are different types of goggles and different colors of lenses or sunglasses under a shield or something like that that you can do. So when it's bright out, you can see some of that contrast in the snow a little bit better, see obstacles and those sorts of things, because snow can glare quite a bit. So having a tinted glasses or a tinted goggle is really helpful for that. And then at night, obviously, you'd want to just run clear.
Yeah, overall, just making sure you're comfortable. You know what I mean? If you're not warm and comfortable on the unit and you're sitting there trying to plow the machine, it takes some work. It takes some thought process. So, I mean, you want to make sure you're thinking straight.
Yep.
One way to do that, I would say, is just making sure you're comfortable.
Yep. You do want to have, you know, some weight on the vehicle is going to help you with traction, but that should never be a passenger. That's just a bad idea, and you shouldn't have anybody near you when you're doing this either, because again, it's slippery, visibility can be poor. You just don't want anyone around you. But what you do want is somebody to know where you are, or somebody that'll answer the phone in case, you know, you get stuck or you run out of gas or something like that, and you need to talk to somebody. So other things, I guess, you know, use caution when you're backing up. Again, the vehicle handles kind of different when there's a lot of weight in the front, so you need to just take some time to get used to that. Keep the lights on, and then especially if you're around roads or, you know, you're at the end of your driveway, there's snow plows going around, people have longer stopping distances, they're trying to keep their car on the road and maybe lose some of their peripheral vision a little bit as they're trying to concentrate. So you should really take care when you're at or around roads. So even, you know, even wearing bright colors and making sure that you're not out plowing before dawn in all black gear can be really helpful, which is something that's easy to overlook.
Well, just as important as telling us what to do is telling us what not to do. Are there any other for sure do not do these things you want to get out to everybody?
Yeah, don't pile your snow across a road. Don't push your driveway from your garage out into the street or across the road. And in a lot of places, it's straight up illegal to pile snow across the road. I mean, there's snowmobile trails going through there potentially, or something that a car or a snowplow could hit or you could be hit. So you need to find a spot on your own property that this can be done. You really don't want to pile up snow next to someone else's property. We talked about, think about where the water goes when it melts, and an answer to that is not, well, that's my neighbor's problem. So you need to think about that a little bit. Don't pile it on any structures. Don't pile it on your septic or anything that you're going to need to access. Try not to plow a gate closed or anything like that. And then, again, really important, even when the blade's up, just keep the speed down. You do get off the machine quite a bit. You might be plowing a little bit and then go scoop off your driveway. Make sure the vehicle's in park when you do that. If you're trying to clear snow off the plow or adjust the angle, make sure the vehicle's in park there, too. You don't want the vehicle to roll away from you or roll into you or anything like that when you're making some of these adjustments that you probably will need to do during the course of your plowing.
Another glossary term we might come across if we're on the help center reading about plowing tips is backdragging. We're going to mention this later in the episode when we talk about plow mode on Ride Command 2, but give us kind of the quick rundown on backdragging.
Backdragging is basically when you put the blade down and then go in reverse. This can be helpful if you're like at a garage door or at a sidewalk where you can get some snow away from a structure or something like that. It's possible, and you can definitely do it on our products. I would say that really the best practice is try not to get this any plow or anything really close to your house or close to your garage. Scoop at least a shovel width away from your house before you're doing something like that, just so that you don't kind of run it into anything or cause damage to some type of structure.
All right, let's move on to some adjustments now. I've got a list here of some common adjustments. I'm just going to tee them up for you guys and let you guys tell us how we should do this and why we would want to make this adjustment. So let's start with the plow angle, and we're talking left to right here, correct?
Yeah, so talking about adjustments, we got your plow angle, which is going to be located on your frame. This is really used for, you'll hear the term quite a bit, windrowing. Kind of like Kyle said, basically your angle in the plow, you start at one end of the driveway and you continue to work to the other end of the driveway, continue to push snow off one side. So if you're going to start, maybe you start on the right side, you're going to windrow and adjust the plow to the left. Basically, that's where you'd use it. Depending on which way you're going to windrow, you would adjust it left or right.
Yep, and there's some, you know, some situations where you're going to want to adjust that plow to be straight, and that's really just pushing into a pile or when you're pushing straight towards where you're going. But obviously, that's going to cause more snow to be in front of the plow and add weight and help lose traction and some of those things. So try to avoid keeping it straight out as front as straight as little as possible.
How about the plow stop blocks?
Yeah, so from the factory, a lot of times they don't need to be adjusted. They're set at just the standard medium setting. That's basically the angle of attack of how the plow is sitting. So basically, if you want to bring the angle of the plow forward, you're going to basically dig further into the ground. If you have dirt or gravel, you wouldn't want to do this because at that point you're going to be digging into the soft ground, start ripping up rocks, dirt, etc. If you have asphalt or a concrete smooth driveway, you may need to go deeper. Or maybe if you have a layer of ice and you want to try to scrape a little bit more, that's where you'd angle it forward a little bit. For the most part, you'd leave it from the factory setting, and then maybe if you're doing more of a gravel or bumpy surface at that point, just bring it back, actually, so it's not digging.
Let's move on then to the plow springs.
Plow springs, basically, you're going to put this on when you get the plow from us. You do have to actually install these. And then from there, your basic adjustment, and they'll talk through this in the instructions too of the actual plow kit. But basically, just get it to the point where they have tension on them. Basically, that's going to help. If you hit something, it's basically the trip on the plow that's going to basically trip it forward. Instead of breaking something, it's basically a nice option for it just to trip. Okay, yep, I know I hit something, I need to back up, and then it'll come back. If you are plowing maybe a lot heavier snow, maybe you have some thick ice that you are trying to scrape, it may be tripping consistently. At that point, you can try tightening it up a little bit, and that'll help that. Now, just remember, it is in there for as basically a weak point in the system, so that you're not breaking the plow system. So just be aware of that when you are adjusting that.
Yeah, it's not a planned failure point because it doesn't fail. It trips back in this place, but it is there to protect you. Like you said, it's the other option, you know, without those there, with them set way too tight, it's going to cause damage to something else, potentially the shear pin or bending the mount or the frame. So you definitely don't want that. But really for how to get started, if this is new to you, keep them pretty loose just so that there's a little bit of tension on them and the bolts aren't rattling around the eye bolt. And if it trips too early, then tighten them up a little bit. And you want to make sure, either by counting the threads or by measuring, that you try to keep the left and the right as close to the same as you possibly can.
Yeah, good call out.
Another important adjustment, skid shoes.
Yeah, so skid shoes on plows are basically, they're there to help the wearer on the wear bar. So what those are doing is they have some adjustment on them. All of ours are going to be quick adjustment, so it's basically a pin that you can pull out and adjust easily on both sides of them. You're going to have two of them, one on the left, one on the right. As you are plowing different surfaces, you will want to adjust these. So if you're going to be plowing dirt or gravel, you're going to want these down because you basically don't want your wear bar scraping across that surface. You want the shoes to ride on that surface. If you have a smooth surface that you're plowing, you may want to bring that up and actually run the wear bar through that smooth surface, as long as you're not causing damage to any of the surface and pulling up any rocks or anything like that. So that's kind of your main adjustments on those.
Yeah, if you are on a really frozen surface or a concrete or an asphalt or something like that, you can have those skid shoes up higher than the wear bar is, so they're really not even contacting when you're plowing. It's another thing that the adjustment is there, and it's partial personal preference, and there's some different situations where you might want different things. And that wear bar, too, as we get into that, that is reversible. A lot of people don't know that. So once it wears down and it's starting to contact the steel of the blade or the poly of the blade, you can take the bolts out, flip it over, and use it again before you have to replace it.
Okay, let's talk about the winch link now.
Yeah, so the winch link, this is going to be another item that you're basically going to assemble when you get the plow. You shouldn't have to adjust this very often. Basically, you're going to adjust this initially when you put the plow together so that when you're pulling the winch up, you get to the point where the plow can lift as high as you need without the actual winch hook coming through your fairlead. So it's kind of just adjust once when you get it, and then from there you shouldn't need to go back and adjust it.
Yeah, of all these adjustments, that's one that if you have it adjusted right the first time, and the instructions do a pretty good job of demonstrating how to get the wind or get the plow up as high as possible, that's not one that you would really need to ever come back and do something else with.
One thing we do cover pretty extensively on the help center is the shear pin. Let's talk about the shear pin here and how you can replace that and all that.
Yeah, so the shear pin is basically designed in that plow system so that if you hit something hard enough and your trip on your plow springs doesn't do enough of the job, it basically will shear that pin off basically by the lever. We have a pin right there where the lever is to angle the plow. So that is ideally the weak link. It's going to break the shear pin and not your entire plow frame. So that's the purpose of it. On most of our plows, we will have a replacement shear pin that comes with the plow in your, actually the handle of the lever, the angle lever. So that's one spot you can always check it. Ideally, you should have some backup in your garage or in the vehicle. They're not super expensive. That's basically why we made it the weak link of the plow system. But yeah, that's kind of what that does.
Yeah, and even if you're someone that's been plowing for a while, there's a couple of different shear pins, like Mitch mentioned. The ones where there's a replacement in the handle are usually T-shaped. And then on some older plows that you might have on some older ATVs out there, they're just kind of shaped like a bolt, and it's got a pin within the pin on both sides. So if yours is not T-shaped and yours breaks, you can flip it over and use it again. So either we give you a spare or yours can be reversed and used again.
Kyle, you mentioned this earlier, traction. How are other ways that you can improve traction?
Yeah, so depending on what you use your ATV for most of the year, maybe you're not running a very aggressive tire. It's possible that you might want a more aggressive tire in the winter. Another way is adding some weight. So if you've got a cargo box on the vehicle, front or rear, just make sure that's strapped down and attached tightly. But adding some weight in there doesn't hurt. The more weight, the better your traction is going to be. One thing we don't want you to do at all for adding weight is to try to add it to the plow frame. They're not designed to have weight added to them. And then, depending on what surface you're on, some tire chains or something like that might be helpful for you too.
Can always adjust. You don't want to go too low, but there is some variance you'll have in tire pressure that you can adjust also to maybe get yourself a little bit more traction in certain situations.
Yeah, running your tire pressure a little lower is going to give you a little bit more surface area of that tire on the ground, which can help. And on that note, too, one thing we didn't talk about is, again, with the weight on the front of the vehicle, you can run your springs a little tighter in the front, too, to sort of compensate for that. And that's going to help even out how the vehicle sits and give you more traction on the rear wheels or at least traction more evenly.
Does the weather itself change how we do some of the adjustments or when we would make these adjustments? I'm thinking the ground softer later in the season, in the spring, maybe the last time I'm plowing for the year versus the middle of miserable, cold January or February?
Yeah, I think for me, if the ground is getting softer, that's when you're going to want to make sure that your plow shoes are down so that you're not just peeling sod off or peeling the top layer of gravel off and then pushing that into your lawn, into your snow pile, so you don't just get a bunch of your yard out where your snow was. And one thing too to think about is if it is getting warmer and the ground is getting wet, you don't really need to scrape down to nothing because spring is coming. So try to avoid scraping right down to the bare ground if you can, and that's just going to make your yard come back to life and require less maintenance once the snow is gone.
Let that sun do some of the work for you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, last thing we're going to talk about today is maintenance. what are some, whether it's inspections or routine maintenance work that we can do throughout the season before we start plowing, in the middle of our plowing season, at the end of the plowing season?
I think, you know, when you are using your ATV or your side-by-side all year, just keep a keep some track of your maintenance intervals. If you're not quite up to an oil change, you might want to think about doing it before it starts snowing rather than having to go out and change your oil in the winter, depending on where you keep it and whether you have a heated place to do that. So, and then the other thing is you're running the vehicle back and forth. You're running it at low speed. If it is covered in ice and snow during the winter, that makes it a little bit tougher to see what's going on. So just give the vehicle sort of a once over, make sure things are tight, nothing's bent, everything looks good, check the coolant, check operation of all your lights and everything so that you have to worry about it a little less when it's winter.
Yeah, then as far as the plow goes, I wouldn't say there's a ton of maintenance on it. Your visual inspection is going to be the main thing on there. Make sure nothing's broken, make sure nothing's bent. And then check your wear bar before the season begins. Make sure you basically have one that's going to last you this season. And I would say that's about the only maintenance you'd have to make sure you have done prior to snow.
Yeah, we do recommend if you've just unboxed this plow, if it's brand new, make sure when you unbox it and you're putting it together that you're torquing everything and not just calling it tight enough. And then after your first plow session or your first couple, go back in and make sure that those are still tight because things could slide around or seat a little bit differently and loosen up. So keep track of that.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for the knowledge. I'm sure everyone with the plow system will be putting it to work soon. I know snow is in the forecast here in Minnesota in the coming days. So thank you so much and enjoy the winter.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Our next conversation is with Polaris Software QA Manager Joe Botensek, so we can learn a little bit more about Plow Mode, the new Ride Command feature. If you're not familiar with Ride Command, it's the infotainment system found on some Polaris off-road vehicles like the Ranger XP1000. The addition of Plow Mode to Ride Command is something of a game changer for those of us who have to deal with the snow, so we had to have Joe stop by and educate us. We're joined now by Joe Botensek, Software QA Manager here at Polaris. Joe, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, we're talking plowing, and that means we have to talk about plow mode. Before we get into that, let's start with some background on you. How long have you been with Polaris?
Yeah, I've been with Polaris for just over 4 years now.
What is your favorite vehicle to ride?
Yeah, so I'm a big snowmobiler, but I've also gotten more into the off-road space recently. Excited to get on my Indy XCR 850 this year.
Well, winter is coming very quickly, and speaking of winter, let's talk about plowing. Let's talk about plow mode, a new feature available on XP1000 Rangers. Right up front, give us the basics out of it.
Basically, what we did is we tied the actions of plowing in with the vehicle itself. So when you shift the vehicle into low gear to begin your plowing, it'll drop the plow for you, and when you go into reverse to make another pass, it pulls the plow up for you. And vice versa in back drag mode.
It's the Ranger XP1000 model year 2020, correct?
Yep, that's correct. We didn't want to forget about our model year 19 XP1000 customers as well. So you can purchase a new Ride Command unit. There was a hardware spin on it. So purchase the 7-inch unit along with the Ride Command plow mode accessory harness as well to add this to your current vehicle that you have.
That's on model year 2019 Ranger XP1000s, correct?
That is correct.
In terms of your snowplow system, does it work with any kind of snowplow blade?
Yeah, it will. So the main feature that we need to have on the vehicle is the auto stop winch.
Obviously, this is not a visual medium. We're on an audio medium here, but we can't show you how it works. But briefly tell us kind of how you go about setting it up and how easy it is just for people to use.
Yeah, so any 2020 Ranger XP unit with Ride Command from the factory has the capability to have plow mode. You just need to add in that 4,500-pound or greater auto-stop winch in order to enable it. So all the wiring is in there. You just have to basically hook the winch up, hook the plow up, and then go into your vehicle settings menu on Ride Command, turn plow mode on, do a little calibration with how far down you want to drop the plow, with your passes, and away you go.
Briefly tell us the difference between manual mode and automatic mode on there.
Yeah, so it defaults to manual mode when you start the vehicle up, just as a safety feature. And basically what that does is you can use the manual winch buttons either on your remote or dash, whatever your vehicle is equipped with. And then you can also, at that point, use the touch screen. We have some winch control buttons on there. And really what that does is allows you to make sure that your plow mode integration will work appropriately. And then if you throw it in park, you can switch over to auto mode. And as I mentioned earlier, when you throw the vehicle in low gear, it'll drop the plow for you. And then when you hit reverse, it'll automatically raise that plow. And that's where the feature gets pretty cool.
Another feature we should probably mention too is back drag mode. That's also pretty helpful when you're plowing snow.
Yeah, when you're in back drag mode, you can definitely get in those tight spaces, and it reverses the plow up, plow down in the gear that it's tied to. So when you go in reverse, it drops the plow. And then when you go into low to move forward again, it raises the plow. And that's just a toggle button right on the screen.
Can you give us maybe a brief overview of what went into creating something like this and how much behind the scenes work is going on here at Polaris to come out with plow mode?
Yeah, so I have to give a shout out to Tim Norstad and Mick Vredny on the Ride Command and Orvi electrical team. They came up with the idea several years ago. And basically what we did is started modifying some of our the firmware on some of our gauges to control a winch based on vehicle gear position over the CAN bus. And then from there, Tim and company started kind of riffing on that and refining that on their own properties over the next couple of years. It was a passion project that turned into a real thing. And then, you know, the last year and a half or so, we really spent the time productionalizing it, dialing in and making it a safe and effective feature for our customers to use.
Well, I've been lucky enough to play around with it a couple of times. It's awesome. I would highly recommend it to everybody. So, Joe, thank you so much for stopping by and dropping some knowledge on us.
Yeah, you bet.
Many thanks to Kyle, Mitch, and Joe. And many thanks to all of you for listening. If you like what you've heard, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. And tell your friends to subscribe wherever they get their podcasts. Until next time, this has been the Ride Ready Podcast. Remember, all riders should always wear helmets, eye protection, and protective clothing and footwear. Read, understand, and follow your owner's manual. Never ride under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Ride within the limits of your own abilities, and never engage in stunt or exhibition driving.
The Ride Ready Podcast is brought to you by the Polaris Help Center, your first stop for vehicle information, maintenance tips, and how-to videos. Look for the Help button in the upper right-hand corner of any Polaris brand website.